Good morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf Kuf Chaf Beis. So on the first Amud, we're going to continue with the topic of Amir al-Nachri, the prohibition of having a non-Jew do for us on Shabbos what we couldn't do for ourselves. And then on Amud Beis, we're really going to get into the topic of Muktzah and the fact that originally there was a decree against moving any utensil, and then eventually it was moderated down. Don't move utensils that are used primarily for a prohibited activity, but you could, under certain circumstances, move utensils. So let's start with the Mishnah on Kuf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. We had learned in yesterday's Mishnah that if there's a fire going on in somebody's house and a Gentile sees what's happening, you're not allowed to tell him, oh, please turn off the fire for me, please extinguish it. And you can't, if he is extinguishing, you don't have to say, stop extinguishing. That's what we learned yesterday. It's the next case now, the next Mishnah. Nachri shehidlik esaner. If a Gentile lights a candle or a lamp on Shabbos, mishtamish l'or Yisrael, the Jew is allowed to use its light. That's the rule that we said yesterday, that if the Gentile housekeeper comes to the den and lights the lights in the den because she wants to read the newspaper, then you can go in afterwards and also read the newspaper. You can even go in at the same time and read the newspaper. However, in Bishvil Yisrael, if the Gentile lit the light just for the Jew, then usher, then you're not allowed to use that candle. Mile mayim lahashkos behemto. Let's say, now we're going to have three examples of this principle. Let's say the Gentile filled water in a way that was carrying. Let's say he took water from a private domain. It's in deep in a well, and the well is a deep well. It's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. So the well is a private domain, and the Gentile drew water from the private domain and put it into the public domain. He did it for his own animal. Then Mashka Achav Yisrael, then after he uses that water for his animal, the Jew is allowed to water his animal or feed his animal from that water. However, again, the same rule, V'im Bishvil Yisrael, if the Gentile drew the water and carried the water for the Jew, usher, then it's not allowed. Third case. Asa Nachri Kevesh Lerebo. The Jew and the Gentile are both traveling on a boat, and the Gentile builds a ramp to go off the boat on Shabbos from the boat to the dry land. So if the Gentile built the ramp for himself, Yored Achrav Yisrael, the Jew can now go down the ramp after the Gentile. V'im Bishvil Yisrael, but if the Gentile built it for the Jew, Aser, it's not allowed. So three examples of the same principle. Namely, if the Gentile does a malacha for himself, the Jew can benefit from it afterwards. That could be in the case of lighting a candle, the case of using the water that the Gentile draws, or the case of using the ramp that the Gentile builds. Ma'asav Rabban Gamliel uzakein. There was a story once with Rabban Gamliel and the elders. Shayubayin besfina. They were coming down on a boat. Va'asa Nachri Kevesh Leired Bo, the Gentile built a ramp on the boat to go off of it on Saturday. And not only did the Gentile go off the boat using the ramp, but even Rabbi Gamliel and the other Torah sages exited the boat on the same ramp. So again, we have three examples of the same principle, namely, that a Gentile who does a prohibited activity for a Jew, then the Jew cannot enjoy that prohibited activity. There's a rabbinic law prohibiting the Jew from getting benefit from what the Gentile did for him. But if the Gentile did not do it for the Jew, the Gentile did it for himself, since it also does benefit the Jew is allowed to avail himself of that benefit. Yeah, question. They were on the boat earlier. They were on the boat for weeks.
But the boat was there.
Yeah. Well, that's going to get into the issues they're going to learn about in Erev and the issues of Tchumin. Okay. It's possible that there's no Tchumin when you're above 10 Tvachim. So a boat can be pretty high. It may not have the law of Tchumin. But okay, even if you can get off the boat, you probably have to stay there on the dock. You couldn't go further. Says the Gemara, Utsricha, I need to give you these three examples, namely candle, water, and ramp. If the Mishnah would have given us the first example, that if a Gentile lights a candle, the Jew can also use it, I would say Mishnah Ner Echad, Ner Lemeya, because in a candle, once the Gentile needs the candle, so if he lit it, it's only for himself, it's not for the Jew. And once he lit it, it's plenty for the Jew too. Avol Mayim, but in regards to when the Gentile drew water, and then he fed his animal. Now I want to bring my animal afterwards. Since in regards to water, it's not that one chunk of water is enough for everything. At a certain amount, the animals take up all the water, you have to bring more water for more animals. Avol Mayim, but in regards to water, since normally it has to be refreshed, Ligzer, we should make a decree. Maybe if I would allow the Jew to bring his animal to drink from the trough after the Gentile brought his animal, maybe next time the Gentile is going to add a special amount just for the Jew. And therefore I should never allow the Jew to drink after the Gentile. That's what I have to tell you. Even with water we allow the Jew to drink after the Gentile. The Kevish Lamli. So why do we also have to give the example of the ramp? The ramp is the same as a candle. One ramp works for everyone. So once I said that the Gentile who lights a candle for himself, Jews can also benefit from it. I would know that a Gentile who builds a ramp for himself, Jews can also benefit from it. Kevish Lamali, hence the Gemara, Masa, Jeben Gamliel, Luzakenim, Kamash Malan. For the ramp, it teaches me the story of Rebbe Gamliel and the elders. In other words, not only is this a rule that if the Gentile did something, he built something, he lit something for himself, the Jew can benefit from it. Not just there is such a principle, but it was actually lived by. The greatest Gedolim availed themselves of this leniency. Rebbe Gamliel and the elders did it. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Talking about other examples of a Gentile does malacha, can the Jew benefit from it? Nafki shalikir asavim, if the Gentile picked weeds for himself, and he fed his animal with those weeds, now there's some leftover weeds. Machilachim Yisrael, the Jew can bring his animal to eat the leftovers, even though these weeds were picked on Shabbos. However, v'im b'shvil Yisrael, if the Gentile picked the weeds just for the Jew, aser, then the Jew cannot feed the animal from it. If a Gentile draws water on Shabbos to give to his animal to drink, the Jew afterwards can go and give his animal to drink from the water. But if the Gentile drew the water for the Jew, aser, it's not allowed. But medvar mamur, when is this so? She'ein makiro. When the Gentile doesn't recognize, he's not his friend. The Gentile's not his friend. Avol makiro, but if he recognizes him, in other words, he knows the Jew needs it, then aser, even though the Gentile drew the water for himself, it's also for the Jew, because he knows the Jew, he recognizes the Jew, so then the Jew can't benefit from it. Amy, is that so? Amar Rav Huna, didn't Rav Huna say, Amar Rav Chanina, the name of Rav Chanina, Ma mid Adam behemto gabi asavim b'shabbos. A person's allowed to bring his animal to the grass on Shabbos, and we're not worried that the Jew might pick for the animal. Avolo gabi muktza b'shabbos. But a Jew is not allowed to bring the animal to things that are muktza to eat, because then the Jew might pick up the muktzah and move it. In other words, if I bring my animal over to the grass, we're not worried that I'm going to pick grass. That's a biblical malacha. But to bring my animal over to muktzah items, we are worried. Maybe I'll move the muktzah items to help feed the animal. So if that's true, how can we allow a Jew to bring his animal to eat the leftover grass that the Gentile picked on Shabbos? If the grass was picked on Shabbos, it's muktzah. Because as Shabbos entered, it was attached to the ground. It was out of mind. Now that it was picked, it's nolad. It's something new that's being created. It should be muktzah. How could we feed the animal that thing? Answers the Gemara, you didn't literally bring the animal there. To kayim leba apa. He just stood in front of the animal to, you know, the animal is going this direction. He stood in front of it to get the animal to move back. And the animal went itself to eat. So since he wasn't literally standing on the grass, therefore, we're not worried that maybe he's going to take from the grass, because he's not bringing the animal over to the grass. He stood in a place that redirected the animal to walk through the grass. So since he's not standing over the grass, we're not worried he's going to pick up the grass to move it. And that's why even though the grass is muktzah, it's okay for him to maneuver the animal there. Amar, we just said about using the leftovers of what the Gentile did for himself. That's only true if the Gentile doesn't know him. The Gentile's not friendly with him. The Gentile doesn't know that he has this need too. Avol makiro, but if the Gentile recognizes him that he has the need, also then it's not allowed. Asking Mar Rabbi Gamliel makiro hava. When Rabbi Gamliel was on the boat, obviously the Gentile saw that Rabbi Gamliel was there. So the Gentile knew that Rabbi Gamliel could benefit from it, and nevertheless Rabbi Gamliel did benefit from it. Amar Abaye answered, Shalom b'fanav hava. When the Gentile built the ramp, Rabbi Gamliel was down in the hold of the boat. So the Gentile didn't see Rabbi Gamliel then. And he was just doing it for himself, not thinking about the Jew too. Rav Amar Rava said, Afilu tema b'fanav. Even if Rabbi Gamliel would have been there, and the Gentile builds the ramp, Rabbi Gamliel could use the ramp too. Because ner echa, ner lemea. The nature of a ramp is that if you want to build a ramp for 20 people, and yourself included, it's still only one activity of building a ramp. You're not going to add more nails because there's more people coming down this ramp. When we said that if the Gentile knows that the Jew needs this, then the Jew should not benefit from it, that's when it's something like the Gentile picking weeds. So if he's picking weeds and he knows that the Jew has an animal coming later, he might pick more weeds for the Jew. So then we say, okay, then the Jew shouldn't benefit from it because maybe he was picking more for the Jew. But when it's something like a ramp or lighting a candle or the example we gave yesterday, plugging in an urn, turning on lights, it's one act. You don't do more because there are more people benefiting for it. So then it's allowed, even though the Gentile knows that it benefits the Jew too. Correct. Correct. Because he did it for right. Because he did it for himself, and it's the same. It's the same action. It's the same level of malacha, whether he does this just for himself or he does this for himself and more people. It's still the same action. Right. Good. Very true.
Rabbi, can we say it was an endurance? It was an issue that if you give, if you're already benefiting because you're feeling good about yourself. The other person, you feel good. So you're doing it for yourself. So the person, the guy taking out more grass for you to feed your animal, is doing it really for himself because he wants the other person to feel like he's a good guy.
That could be. It could be that there is an element, maybe also. You know, you could say it's for himself, but it's in front of the Jew. It doesn't look right. It still looks like he's doing it as the emissary of the Jew. And that's not right, that the Jew is sending people to do malacha for himself on Shabbos.
What happens if it's the gun's job to put out grass for anyone who comes?
Right.
The Jew or not, what's the case in the
I don't think so. Because it's in front of him.
So if you have a doorman, who has a button to an elevator, I got to go to 24
hours out.
He sees me coming. He knows that it's his job
right.
to press the button for anyone to
come to drive with you. Yeah, well, I think better would be to wait for a non-Jew who has to go to the 20th floor. And then go in with the non-Jew.
That would be better.
That's better. Again, this is it's a question that comes up all the time in the city. And the rabbis who are lenient, they argue that there's a difference between having a Gentile press a button versus a Gentile picking grass. So picking grass is a biblical malacha, it's kotzer. Pressing a button is really activating an electric circuit. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach argued that electricity is only a rabbinic sin. He said it's not real fire.
Wow.
He said it's not really fire. It's something which isn't visible. It's a rabbinic sin. So now, to have a Gentile do something for you is itself a rabbinic sin. It's not a pasuk. It's a rabbinic sin. So to have him do for you a rabbinic sin is what we call shvus dishvus. A rabbinic of a rabbinic. So rabbinic of a rabbinic for the sake of a mitzvah or in the place of tremendous discomfort. You know, a guy's going to have to walk 20 flights of steps. It's very uncomfortable. So then they're lenient. And therefore they say, then you could even... Not really, unless there are other people going to the 20th floor. It's true, but he's doing it for me. He sees me with my yarmulke coming in. I'm going to help the Jew. I know he's going to visit Mr. Thurm. I'm going to press the button for him.
Is it okay if he does it without you asking?
That might make it better, but this Gemara seems to imply... Yeah, it doesn't seem to mention it's only when you ask. So the leniency is the issue of shvus deshvus b'makom mitzvah. The leniency is this argument that it's rabbinic on top of a rabbinic for a mitzvah. That there's a difference between when he presses a button versus, you know, something biblical. You know, biblical would be, you know, like in Grand Central Station, they have these people who their job is to clean the shoes. So that's really biblical. That's painting. You know, so that if you come in on Shabbos, he says, "Oh, listen, Rabbi Reichman, let me clean your shoes. This is my job." That's already a problem. That's biblical. But if he says, "I'm going to press the button on the elevator," that might be rabbinic. And then asking him to do it is also rabbinic. So rabbinic on top of rabbinic. When if he doesn't do it, you're going to have sweating on Shabbos, climbing 20 flights of stairs, 30 flights of stairs. It's very uncomfortable. That's where there are those who are lenient. That's the source of the leniency. According to this, it would be okay because it is ordering, but it's different than the cases here. The cases here are ordering him to do something biblical, to build, to pull weeds out of the ground, to light a candle. You're ordering him to do something rabbinic. According to this leniency, though, Yosef is right. You could have, let's say, you have an elderly man. Has a hard time walking to shul. It's hard for him to walk to shul. So to get to shul is certainly a mitzvah. He wants to say Kaddish, he wants to say Yizkor, it's a big deal emotionally for him. And he's in a fragile emotional state. According to this same leniency, you could have a non-Jew come and take him to shul in a Tesla. Because a Tesla is all electronic, and since it's all electric, it's only rabbinic. And a Tesla, not a Lexus. A Lexus has a spark plug. Here it's biblical, it's gas, you're burning. But in a Tesla, since it's all electronic, it would be allowed. It would be allowed because it's rabbinic on top of rabbinic for the sake of a mitzvah. That's how they make these, the Tzomet scooters are the same principle. They're saying since electricity is rabbinic, so then they created a device. When you press the button, it doesn't directly start it. It indirectly starts it. So we've seen many times in Masechet Shabbos that grama, indirectly doing a malacha, itself makes it rabbinic. So it's rabbinic on top of rabbinic for the mitzvah of helping someone who's handicapped be able to get to shul. That's how it becomes permissible. Even if it's charged on Shabbat, you couldn't plug it in, but the Gentile could plug it in. Lighting the candles, there we're talking about biblical stuff. Yes, that would be permitted. But there would be the points that Jonathan made. Since they were assuming, since you didn't tell him, it's allowed. Yeah, he was told before Shabbos to do it. He wasn't told on Shabbos to do it. That's how they were allowing him. But not everybody agrees to that. Some say that even if you didn't tell him, if he does it for you, it's not allowed. But they were assuming that since you didn't tell him on Shabbos, you told him before, it's allowed. You see, there are two classical understandings of this law that you can't have a Gentile do malacha for you on Shabbos. One classical understanding is what Rashi says, which is that he is your emissary. So he's working for you, it's as if you did it. That's why you can't do it. The other understanding is what the Ran says, which is you're not supposed to say certain things. You're not supposed to say weekday things on Shabbos. You can't on Shabbos tell someone to do malacha for you. So the Avnei Nezer says the difference between these two opinions would be what happens if you tell him on Friday, on Shabbos, light a fire for me? Or if you tell him on Shabbos, light a fire for me after Shabbos? If you say that the issue is that he can't be your emissary, so if on Shabbos he's lighting for you, it doesn't matter that you told him on Friday, it still looks like your emissary. But if the issue is you can't say certain things on Shabbos, so then if you told him on Friday, do it for me on Shabbos, he didn't say anything on Shabbos, it would be allowed. If you told him on Shabbos, do it for me after Shabbos, you're saying the wrong things on Shabbos, it wouldn't be allowed. So there are different opinions on this. So, you know, that's another way to allow it. You can tell the doorman on Friday, when I come on Shabbos, turn it on for me. It would work according to the Ran. It doesn't work according to Rashi. But even according to Rashi, it would work because it's rabbinic on top of rabbinic for the sake of a mitzvah. Okay, Rava Amar Rava said, Afilu tema b'fanav, right, ner echad ner lemeah. Neisvel, I'll challenge you. We learned Amalah and Rabbi Gamliel, the different version of this braisa. Rabbi Gamliel said to the other sages, hold the shalom b'faneinu asa'o, since this Gentile built the ramp without us being here, nerid bo, now we can go down on it. That sounds like if we would be here and he would see us and he would know we need it, we can't use it. Amos, where it says, well, it's a braisa. You can always change what the braisa says. Say, read the braisa this way. Hol vaso nerid bo. Since he made it, we can go down on it. Tashma, coming to your proof from the following. This is Izzy's case about a cruise when you have lots of passengers, most of them Gentile, some of them Jewish. So the Gemara's case is a bathhouse, and most of the customers are Gentiles. So Tashma, coming to your proof. Yirsha Yisrael v'nachim darim besochel. Let's say you have a neighborhood with Jews and non-Jews. And there's a bathhouse in this neighborhood to serve the local residents. Hamarachetz is b'Shabbos, and it's open on Shabbos. So im rov nachrim, if the majority are Gentiles, so when the people are lighting the fires and warming the water, they're doing it for the Gentiles. Therefore, mutar lirchutz b'miyad, right after Shabbos, Jews can wash on it, even though it's water that was heated on Shabbos. Because it's water that was heated for most of the customers, and most of the customers are Gentiles. But in Rov Yisrael, but if most of the customers of this bathhouse are Jews, so even though the bathhouse is open on Shabbos for the non-Jews, but the bathhouse proprietors, the Romans who own it, they know that they're heating the water for the Jews, then the Jews who come after Shabbos, yamtim b'chdesh yecham uchamin, they have to wait enough time to heat up the waters again. They can't use the waters that were heated on Shabbos. So this is a problem. It's a problem for Rava. Because Rava said, even if the Gentile knows about the Jew, if the Jew's not in front of him, then you could benefit from it. So here, the Gentile, the Jew's not in front of him. Why can't you benefit from the waters? Answer the Gemara, no. Even if the Jew's not in front of him, whenever they heat the waters in a business, I die to the Ruben Mechammi. They're heating it because of the majority of the customers. So since the majority of the customers here are Jewish, even if the Jews aren't here, we know that they're doing it for the Jews, and therefore the Jew cannot benefit from it. Maybe. Yeah. Tashma, coming here, another proof. Nera Dalak B'Masiba. Let's say a Gentile lit a candle during a party. Im Rov Nachrim. Most of the people at the party are Gentiles. Mutar L'Hishtamish L'Ora. You're allowed to use the light of the candle. Im Rov Yisrael. If most of the people at the party are Jews, Aser, you're not allowed to use the candle. Mechz al mechz, if it's 50-50, Aser, you're not allowed to use it. So I understand. According to Rava, he says any activity which is a one activity, you know, lighting a candle, works for everybody. So then your Jew can benefit from it even if the Gentile knows about the Jew. Why here is the Jew not allowed to benefit? It's the Gemara Hassam in this party, Nami, what was the case? Chimadlaki, when they light the candles, Adai to Deruba Madlaki, they're lighting it for most of the people at the party. And therefore, if most of the people are Jews, it's as if they're lighting it deliberately for the Jews, and that's why the Jews cannot benefit from it. And now a story, Shmuel Ikla, the Bay Oven. Shmuel came to the house of Oven, Toran, from the city of Torah. Asahu Nachbi, a Gentile, came, Adlik Shraga, and he lit a candle. Adrinu Shmuel Ape, Shmuel turned away from it, so as not to benefit from the candle. Came in the Chazad the Aisa shut, but once he saw that the Gentile brought a newspaper to read in front of the candle, Amrei said, he lit the candle for himself. So then Shmuel turned his face back to the candle, and he enjoyed the candle. All right, now we're going to begin a new chapter dealing with the topics of Muktzah. We know the rabbis created prohibitions. We're not allowed to move certain items around on Shabbos. Those items are called muktzah. Now, originally, this is a very, very early enactment. It's an enactment going back to the days of at least David HaMelech. Early, right? Before even the first temple. They made an enactment, and they said things that you're not going to use on Shabbos, things that are really not for Shabbos, stones, twigs, a dead body, you can't move it. But they did say things that you're going to use on Shabbos, plates, blankets, that you could move. Many, many years later, the beginning of the Second Temple, they saw that people were not keeping laws of Shabbos. So then they made an extreme law. They said, you can't move utensils. Couldn't move a chair, couldn't move a table, couldn't move a blanket on Shabbos. Can't move utensils. And that worked. When they made such an extreme rule, everybody started to keep Shabbos. They didn't violate anything. So afterwards, they moderated. They loosened up. They said, you can move utensils if it's a klisha malachto leheter, if it's a utensil with a permissible purpose. But if it's a klisha malachto le'isser, if it's a utensil with a prohibited purpose primarily, then you can't move it on Shabbos. Yeah, question.
Let's say they put the food on a fire, and they put the food for the event for Shabbat. And in the middle of the night, the fire goes out.
Right.
Morning they wake up, they say the food is not cooked.
Okay.
It's halfway cooked.
Okay.
Can they bring a goy to the food or tinder the light under the tinder or they have to starve
cold food on Shabbat. Cold food on Shabbat.
Well, why you have to have cold cut in the refrigerator. Oh, that's not allowed. That's it. Okay, stay hungry.
Cold cut.
Cold cut. Cereal
with milk. Cereal with milk on Shabbat.
Cereal with milk.
All right, so the Mishnah now. Kol HaKelim Nitalim B'Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, all utensils that have doors to them, like boxes and closets. You can move them around on Shabbos. V'dal toteni ma'an, with their doors that are on them. And afal pishin esparku, even if the door falls off of the utensil, you can still carry it. Shenan dom l'dalsos sabayis, because the doors of a utensil, the doors of a closet, it's the doors of this are in Kodesh. It's not like the doors of a house. How so? L'fi shenan min amuchan. These doors are part of a utensil. A utensil is a movable thing. A door of a house, though, is out of mind. You're not planning to use the door of the house where it's to come off of the hinges. So if the door of the house comes off of the hinges, it's muktzah. But if the door of a utensil comes off of the hinges, it's not muktzah. Now, another law about muktzah. Let's say you have a hammer. A hammer is primarily used for a prohibited activity. It's primarily used to put nails and build things. But now you want to use it for something permitted. You want to move the hammer to smash open walnuts. Chiddush, you're allowed to do that. No, it's a lot of corners. A person can take a hammer and move it. Lefatzei abo, it goes them to break open the walnuts. Kardom, you can take an axe. Lachtoch bo asatvela, to cut open a dried fig or a ring of figs. Megera can take a big saw. Again, normally it's prohibited. It's for prohibited activity. It's for building. He can take a big saw, lagur bar sagvina, to cut slices of cheese. Magrefa, he can take a spoon, which is normally used to take out coals, ligrofa sagrogeres, to scoop out dried figs from a barrel. Rachas, he can take the flat spatula that's used to throw the wheat up into the sky, that the wind would separate the chaff from the wheat. And a malgez, he can take the pitchfork that's used to flip over hay, lasisal of lakatan, to put food on it for a child. Esakush, he can take the sakarka, he can take these utensils that are used in making threads and in fixing the weaving, litchovo, in order to stick it into a soft fruit. Machat shel yad, he's allowed to move a little needle that's normally used for sewing, litchovo sakot, to use it to take out a thorn. Shel sakayim, he can use a big needle that's used to sew bags, liftoch bo asadeles, to pick a lock and open a lock.
Crack a walnut, let's say?
Yeah.
With a hammer?
Yeah. So says the Mishnah. How could you say, Kala Kelim Nitzalim, all utensils could be carried, V'af Pishin Esparku B'Shabbos? So it sounds like even if the door fell off on Shabbos, you can carry it. And certainly if the door fell off during the week, you can carry it. But the opposite makes more sense. B'Shabbos, if it fell off on Shabbos, then you could carry it because Mucharnan al-Gabi Avin, since it was part of the utensil, and the utensil was movable, right? Because we could use this Aron Kodesh on Shabbos, so therefore it was prepared. Then the door of the Aron Kodesh that falls off is also considered prepared. But B'chol, but if it fell off during the week, it's no longer part of the utensil, so therefore it should be considered muktzah. Amar Abaye, Abaye explained, this is the way to read the Mishnah. All utensils could be carried on Shabbos with their doors. And even though they fell off during the week, the doors, they can still be carried on Shabbos. And the idea is that since they're part of a utensil, they're not considered a muktz item, and therefore you can carry them even when it fell off during the week, and certainly, as we mentioned, when it fell off on Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan Lundin Abraisa, Dela Shel Shita V'Shel Teva V'Shel Migdal, the door of a closet. Notlin, you're allowed to take it out of its hinges. Avalo Machzirit, but you can't reattach it on Shabbos. The shalul shall try to go in, but of a chicken coop, which is already built into the ground, lo notam, you couldn't take the door off of its hinges on Shabbos, because that's considered soter. Velo machzirin, nor can you put it back onto the hinges because that's considered bona. So says the Gemara, okay, bishlama lul shultana gorlim, I understand on a chicken coop, you can't take off the door from the hinges, nor can you put it back. Kasarva kivin the machabi ba'ara, the thinking of this brice, so the town of the brice is, since it's attached to the ground, yesh binyin b'karka, that's considered building it into the ground, yesh tira b'karka. You can also have deconstruction with that which is attached to the ground. But when regards to a closet door of a little box, what do you hold? If you hold that you can't put it back on Shabbos because that's considered building, then you shouldn't be able to take it off on Shabbos from the hinges because that's deconstruction. If you hold that there's no such thing as deconstruction on utensils, then ain't binyan b'kelim. There should be no such thing as building in utensils. Maybe he holds that there is the law of bona when you put together utensil or stira or deconstruction when you take apart a utensil. And shenit lukamar, what the brisa means is that if the door already came off, then you can't put it back. Amale Rava said stay tuvus whichever, that's wrong for two reasons. First of all, denital in katani, it says you can take it off. Not that it was taken off. What would it mean if you can't put it back? Elamar Rava, therefore Rava said, Kasavar ain't binyan b'kelim, ain't stira b'kelim. When you attach a door or detach the door, that's not bona or soser. But the reason why they said you couldn't put the door back is gzeira shema yitaka. There's a decree you might squeeze the door into space. When you squeeze it in, it's makeh b'patish. It's fixing the utensil. It's fixing it to be perfect, not the malacha of bonet.
What happens if the frame of the door is the support for the building? You know, it's not the living room. And if they don't fix it right now, the whole thing is going to collapse. So you want to get out?
Everybody should get out of the building.
Unsafe building.
Yeah. They should run out of the building.
Bring the building apart. Very unsafe, right?
Everybody needs to get out, unless it's a danger to life. If it's a danger to life, of course you do whatever you have to do to save lives. But
you
can't save money doing malacha on Shabbos, no. No till Adam Kornas. A person can take a hammer to break open a walnut. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rita says Kornas shalagozim. What it means is a hammer of walnuts. If Atzei Abo Aser Gozim, that you can use to break open the walnuts. Aval shall not pachim, but a big hammer used by those who make metal, lo, you can't carry it. Because kasavar, he holds davar shemalachul iser, something which is primarily for a prohibited activity, afi litzorech, even for a permitted activity, also you can't move it. However, amar le rabba challenged Rabbi Yehuda's idea. Elamayat, according to this, say for the end of the mission, the Ketani where it says, v'ser rachas v'sam malgez, v'ses olav l'katan, these different pitchforks, you can use it to put food on to a child. Does anybody have a pitchfork just to put food on it for a child? Alama Rabbis, therefore Rabbis said the way I explained, Kornish shall not pachim, lefatzea boegozim. The Mishnah is saying you can use the hammer of the metal worker to move it, to open up the walnuts, because kasavar davar shemalachto leisser, even a utensil whose primary activity is a prohibition of Shabbos, but so rakufo mutter, to move it for a permissible activity, is allowed. Adkan, daf, kufchafe.